So why meditate? Why find stillness intentionally? Why sit and do nothing once or several times a day? Well, you may have noticed when you meditated, or when you've meditated, that once your eyes were closed and stillness was invited, that there was a voice inside your head with a lot to say. Wonderful. You've just met your mind, your thoughts, the thinking part, your patterning. But there was something else there too. You, the one watching the mind think and imagine and dream and spin off and let go. You can know that there's the one watching and the thinking mind by doing a simple experiment. Just say out loud to yourself right now one thing that your mind has thought of, either in a meditation that you recently completed or in some time period before you listened to this. That one reporting on what the mind thought, that is the witness, the watcher. When we meditate, we give ourselves the chance to meet and become aware of our own awareness, also known as presence, witness consciousness, just consciousness, the one who's watching, the one who has been watching since the day your body was born, the one who can tell you what you dreamed, the one who still exists when this body dies. So what about that other part? The mind, the monkey mind, the ego, the mask, the thoughts that perhaps pull you out of presence all day long, so that when your hands are washing the dishes, your attention or awareness is actually on a future to-do list, something that happened earlier in the day. But wherever it is, it's not right here. This part is the part that has become conditioned, the part that causes what I would label as suffering. Suffering, in the way that I'm using the term, is born out of being in division with the moment, being in division with the higher self, being in division with presence, either because our attention is in the past or in the future, on thoughts about the past and the future. If we go back to that example of washing the dishes, the warm water is running. The soap is on your hands. It's slippery and sensual. There's a lemon scent that you enjoy. Perhaps you notice the sounds of your home and the people who live around you. It's a fine, pleasant, ordinary moment. And then the mind starts. That was a long day. Remember when I was driving? That guy almost hit me. I can't believe he changed lanes like that. Oh no, and I didn't finish that project at work. It's going to be there waiting for me tomorrow, and then I'm going to have so much to do, and overwhelm starts to fill your body, and frustration, and you're not paying attention to your hands anymore, and they are starting to scrub that pan a little bit harder than you need to. And then right in the middle of all of this, someone in your house walks up and asks you a question. Maybe it's your kid or your partner, or your cat jumps on the counter. Your kid says, "Mom, did you fold my green shirt? I really wanted to wear it today." Your husband says, "Honey, did you get the laundry detergent, pay the bills? Did you move my shoes? And where are you?" Or more accurately, where is your attention? It's listening to overwhelming thoughts, though you appear to be just washing the dishes. But following that whole storyline has caused your body to tense, your heart to speed up, your breathing to become more shallow. So when you answer, "I put your shoes in the closet," it doesn't sound calm. And your husband takes the bait. "Well, geez, you didn't have to yell at me." And suddenly you're in a new conflict, not just with your internal self, but with that person that you share a home with, when just a moment ago you were merely doing the dishes. "Ugh, why does this always happen to me?" you ask yourself, or more accurately, your thoughts start to say. They start to complain. You wonder if you should have even married this person in the first place. You wish you had a better shoe rack so he would keep track of his things. Maybe you should go to Target tomorrow and get one. The mind is off on another storyline, taking you, your attention, away from the present moment, away from the one who is watching, and into a long stream of consciousness of stories, thoughts, beliefs, and opinions. So now we have some familiarity with the two parts, which are actually just one. It's important to know this for when you get further down the path, but for now, it's useful to divide them into two different things, the one that's watching and the one that's thinking all the time. It's not you that's thinking. You can see that perhaps when your mind has a totally errant thought about something that doesn't make sense at all. Or maybe you're not there yet and you can't see that it's not you. And this is just an invitation to question if it is you or not. What we are up to here together in this work is to increase the amount of time that we are living in presence, living through our witness consciousness, watching the play that's happening, watching the thoughts, but not overly being engaged with them, not letting them run the show. We are aiming to increase the amount of time in presence and decrease the amount of time that we live our lives lost in the stories, thoughts, and monkey mind that causes us to snap at our husband when they just asked a question. To be able to respond to our husband when that husband asked that question, and to just see the actual facts of the matter, which is that he is looking for his shoes. There is nothing more to it than that. No more of a story and no less. The practice of meditation gives us a clear, calm, peaceful way to start to sit in awareness. It's useful to do it every single day because the rest of the day, if we're not living out of presence, then we're not living out of presence. We're often living in the mind. So the more frequently and the longer that we sit, the more we can start to establish an identity and a shift of where we live from. It's always been there, this one that's watching. It's always accessible, though it gets covered up easily by circumstances and people and relationships. But the more that you learn to establish yourself in that seat of the witness, the more you will start to access the qualities of that place. Calm, peaceful, present, and able to respond spontaneously and appropriately to every moment that arises. This is the beginning of what can be a very big journey if we want to take it. And I invite you to work on creating a meditation schedule that you can commit to for the next 2.5 weeks before we meet again. In our group last night, everyone committed to an amount of time that they would meditate every day or most days of the week. So for those of you who missed that, this is your invitation to find what your commitment is going to be. I will send some more resources, but I will leave this at this for now and see you soon.